ABC Radio Australia.
It was 20 years since at least 1,600 people were killed by a massive tsunami in remote villages in Papua New Guinea's far north coast. They were wiped out by a 10-metre high wave. Now, one of those who perhaps best knows the Aitape tsunami is Hugh Davies. He's an Australian geologist who spent decades working in PNG and was on the ground just weeks after the event and has written a book about the disaster. Two decades on, he's told Pacific Beach that his biggest concern remains for people living in coastal communities, who he fears may still not be aware of the dangers posed by living so close to the ocean. We'll hear more from him in a moment. But first, going back to that day when the waves struck on the evening of Friday, the 17th of July in 1998, local Robert Parra was there.
House from is of a leg mountain, 100 metre equal on numbers. We seen a leg, no, now we had him up a drive. Noise.
My house is on a little hill and it was only 100 metres away from the beach. I heard a huge noise. I've never heard anything like it before. But then I knew what had happened. It was a tsunami. I mean, I couldn't see it. It was dark already, but I was afraid.
It's only too dark now. It's afraid too.
The ABC's longtime PNG correspondent Sean Dorney covered the Aitape tsunami and he was told similar stories to that of Robert Parra.
When the tsunami was coming in, there was a sound, people said, like machine gun fire. And what we can assume from that, I think, it was just the waves as they swept along were just snapping coconut tree after coconut tree after coconut tree, just snapping them in half, which would have created this sound. And because of the noise that was being created, a lot of people actually ran down to the beach. And so a lot of those people got killed.
That's Sean Dorney there. Well, as we heard from him and also Robert Parra, the tsunami hit at the end of the day. It was school holidays, so kids had returned from boarding school. Here's how geologist Hugh Davies describes it.
Can you imagine? We're just getting, the village is just closing down. It's last light. People are coming in back to the houses for their dinner and so on. And suddenly this thing arrived. Terribly immediate shock of and bewilderment because it wasn't widely known that such things were happening.
This was once an entire village, Arup. It appears that the tidal wave struck hardest right here.
This is where Arup is now, debris in the lagoon, and the bodies of some of those swept to their deaths are still to be recovered. More bodies could be trapped in this tangled mess.
For Sean Dorney, the Aitape tsunami story was one that had the biggest impact on him during his long career. And also for Hugh Davies, he says it had a similar emotional effect on him too.
It was a quite emotional experience for anyone who was involved. I think the people themselves were traumatised, the helpers were traumatised. I found myself sitting in a meeting at the Aussie High Commission 6 months or more later talking about it, and I couldn't behave like a rational person. I was sort of blurting things out. So it affected everybody, probably more deeply than we realised at the time.
Now, much of the work that Hugh Davies did in the years after the tsunami was to raise awareness about earthquakes and tsunamis, both in PNG, but also his and his colleagues' work also helped inform responses for other major disasters. But 20 years on since the Aitape disaster, Hugh Davies says the importance of preparedness and being aware of those dangers can't be overestimated.
People have been working on awareness, but it is a constant. You can't just say, oh, we've done it this year, it's done, because people move on, people shift in different parts of the country. So it'd be hard to say how good the awareness is now. I expect people away from Aitape are not terribly conscious of the risk of living on the coast.
The PNG is, of course, prone to disasters. In February this year, more than 100 people are believed to have been killed by a magnitude 7.5 earthquake, which struck the highlands. There's been sharp criticism of the emergency response and the government's handling of the situation, both in the immediate aftermath, but also now, almost 5 months on. Even the Prime Minister, Peter O'Neill, acknowledged early on that the response had been much too slow. Just this week, Don Lippert, the Catholic Bishop of Mendi, one of the worst affected areas, tweeted that the church has received no money to help rebuild schools and healthcare facilities still. We've tried to speak with the bishop for further comment but haven't yet received a response. For his part, Hugh Davies is hesitant to comment on whether the lessons learnt from the Aitape tsunami were forgotten in this year's quake response.
The quake was affected a large area and many communities, whereas the tsunami affected a fairly tight area, 14 kilometres of coast and the coastal communities. So, you know, very different in that way, very different to manage. How effective the government response was for the earthquake, I don't know. I have no idea. It was hard, you know, I'm sure most people didn't know exactly what was going on in all places.